Thank you, Dave.
No recording.
That's Craig the recording bear. So I guess let's try to dive into a subject. What subject do you want to pick for the day? Or hold on, we can either do pick a subject or we can come up with a couple different ones. I can go online and roll a die, like share my screen and roll like a six-sided die, and then we can do that. You want to do that?
I'll tell you what, man. It's genuinely, it's up to you, dude. I mean, we wanted to talk, aliens, paranormal, hallucinogenics.
Dude, those are all whole, like, podcast episode, like, things. That's why,
come on, man, we'll make it like the Joe Rogan Experience. We'll just chat for, like, 4 hours.
Shit. I don't want the four. There we go. Okay, so, here, I gotta go back. I gotta share my screen. Okay, so now you can be able to see. So let's say one, aliens, two, let's go with religion, three, okay, hallucinogenics, okay, four, the fucked up state of the world.
Okay.
Five would be paranormal. And six, I'm going to say conspiracy theories.
Okay.
So let's roll it and see what happens. Paranormal. Hell yeah. Okay, it landed on five for everyone that can't see the screen because I'm not uploading it. Get shit on. but yeah, so paranormal. I've had a couple of experiences I've witnessed. How about you?
I have as well. Had a mainly all of my experiences personally outside of stories that I've been told occurred while I was at Ohio University, especially there at the Ridges. For anybody that's listening that doesn't know, the Ridges is an abandoned, for lack of better terms, insane asylum that Ohio University now owns, has turned into an art museum. Had a few experiences there, and I've had a lot of stories. What about yourself?
There's been like a couple different things too. So the most recent one would have to be at my cousin's place. Like, he is renting out this house.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would always go over, because my dad and my cousin lived together. They were renting out a house for my aunt. Both of them got out of relationships, and they were like, fuck, we need a place. So she was like, I got a house y'all can rent. So they rented it out. Well, come to find out, this house used to be the, like, meeting place for funerals. Not the actual funeral home where they, like, dissected the person. But they would, like, have the person there, have the family come in and everything. They learned that later on. But, so, one night, I go over, we're all drinking, like, basically all just get drunk, and we're hanging out, and I stay the night, and I'm sleeping on the couch. And in the room I'm in, it kind of looks like an office. Like, you know what an office looks like? Basic wall structure. But it had the glass doors in the front. So, like, I could see out, but they had blinds. So, we always had the blinds closed, and the handles were broke. So, I always had to leave the door open a crack to make sure I could get out of the room. So, basically, I fell asleep on the couch. In the middle of the night, I woke up, and I thought I saw my cousin going to do laundry. And it was, like, 2 a.m. Dude was drunk, and passed out, and I was like, fuck, he may be sleepwalking. So it's like, Tim, what are you doing? So I get up and follow him into the washroom, like the laundry room, there we go. And nobody's in there. Like, nobody came out. I saw his figure go in, and I just was like, no. So I went in the room, and I completely shut the door behind me, whether I could get out or not. And I was just like, yeah, that's a nope for me.
So let me get this straight. You watched a person that you know walk in and never come out.
Well, no. I thought it was in the middle of the night and it was dark, and I watched a person walk into the room and just never come out.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I assume, like, in the moment, you know, you thought it was just somebody else that you knew in the house.
Exactly.
Jeez. Okay. That is really interesting. And you said that home was used for funerals or for funeral prep?
Funerals. Like, they would hold the funeral there and, like, have family come together and everything.
Jeez. And that's interesting, too, because I know, like, a while ago, I mean, I would have to honestly Google how long ago it's been since they did this. But do you remember that funny song? I think the guy that sings it, I think his name's Ray Stevens. He sings a song called "Sitting Up with the Dead."
No, but I can guess what it's about just from the title. Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be like a funny song about what, you know, they used to have people do back in the day. They used to have someone sit and stay the night, you know, because they would have the funeral and then they would bury them the next day. So you would have someone sleep there to make sure nobody came in to mess with the body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sitting up with the dead. So that's really interesting, especially when you think about that, because if you think about, you know, when that home was used for that, that's very possible that was during a time where they would leave the bodies just sitting there in the middle of the home all day and all night.
Yeah. Plus, like, based off, like, from what you're saying, there's a thing that morticians do, like, I don't know if they still do it today. It may just be a joking thing, but back, like, a long while ago, apparently there is, like, a string of, like, people that were presumed dead and then brought into the morgue and who were not dead. So they would put them in the freezers for prep, and then what they would, they kept finding, like, apparently, like, kick marks and everything for the person trying to get out, but, like, not being able to get out of the freezer. And so what they started doing was they put bells on the toes.
Yep.
So if, like, their foot moved, you would hear the bell on the outside of the freezer going off.
Yep.
So, yeah, that it really makes you think. Extremely.
Like, you think, I mean, even today, right? I'm sure that there's instances, you know, and I'm actually going to try to pull this up here, of people presumed dead and then just coming back. How often?
I guess it happens a good bit, honestly.
All right, let's see here. Okay, so it says ultimately it's down to numbers. Since 2.8 million people die each year, Crockett calculates that the error rate is less than 1% as of 2015.
You said 2.5 million people die a year?
2.8
million, okay.
And if 12,000 are mistakenly marked as... So that would... Yeah, that's what the kind of average would be then. If it's less than 1%... Only about 12,000 people are mistakenly marked as dead. But that whole, dude, that is a ton of people.
That's a lot of people.
Like, yeah, 2.8 million is a ton. But
oh yeah,
even 12,000 people, dude, that is nuts.
Yeah. Oh, and like, okay, so also another thing, like, this is not paranormal at all. But another thing you have to remember is a lot of time the government fucks up. And there's literal stories about people getting death certificates from the government.
Yes.
for a loved one, and like, what the fuck? So they call the rest of the family. Everyone's like up in arms, like, what the fuck are you talking about? I just talked to him yesterday. How could they have died? And then they'll go and find the person and be like, yeah, no, I'm alive. So they have to like go to court and be like, hey, he's not dead. And like, it's a whole fucking thing. But yeah, like, I've heard stories about how the government's fucked up and just legally declared someone dead by accident.
So, oh my goodness. That's kind of frightening, though. It's kind of frightening.
Yeah. There's another story I saw the other day. There's like, so this kind of instance, just in a different case. There's two black men in a jail. They looked exactly the same. They had the exact same name and were in the exact same unit in the jail. And it confused the prison guards. So on the day, apparently one of them was to be executed. So on the day of his death, they like basically declared both of them dead. So this guy just stayed in the prison, and then they saw him. And since they declared him dead, they didn't know what to do. Because, like, basically, they already declared him dead in the system. So they didn't, like, this dude's been dead for, like, a month, and now we just found out that there was two of them. So basically, they didn't know if they were supposed to let him go or keep him, because they didn't actually have the continuous record of what he did. All they had was that he was deceased at that point.
Oh my lord. Could you imagine, right? You're serving a life sentence, and there's another Josh Big in that prison, dies. They think that it's you that died, and then they're like, well, I guess we gotta let him go. Like, he's dead, man. Like, dude, that is insane to me.
Yeah, no, that shit was crazy as fuck when I was reading it.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about my experiences at OU. And for those that don't know, again, you can find all of this stuff online. There's a lot of history about it. But before I went, Josh, do you remember Allie Babst? Do you remember her?
Name sounds familiar. That's all I'm going to say, because I suck with people.
That's all right. She was a year ahead of me when we were at Trace, and we were friends junior year. She was a senior, went to OU. And when she came back to visit one time, I was asking her questions about OU because I was interested in going there. And she told me about all of these like paranormal occurrences at OU. And I started reading about it. I started looking it up. Come to find out, like, there's multiple reports of people seeing things, whether it's at the Ridges. There's also a dormitory called Wilson Hall. And it is actually believed to be like the most haunted place there on campus. In particular, a girl committed suicide in one of the rooms, and they changed it. Like, they completely turned it into a boiler room. They declared it was uninhabitable. Like, just some crazy stuff. But anyway, when I started like looking into OU and like paranormal and everything going on there, and I started looking into the Ridges, the thing that kind of freaked me out the most, that I was like interested in learning about, was the stain. Have you heard anything about the stain at the Ridges?
No.
Okay. So I can't remember what year it was. Let me see if I have that pulled up, because I've got the article pulled up here. So in 1977, oh, I'm sorry, 1978, is when they decided to start shutting down the Ridges, the insane asylum. At that time, there was a patient named Margaret Schilling that, when they started like moving everybody out, they realized they didn't know where she was. Well, after searching for her for, I believe it was a couple of weeks, they found her on the top floor of the building, and her decomposing corpse was found, right? She was dead. And it had been 42 days since they had last seen her. She was found completely naked on her back with her arms crossed over her chest, laying on the ground. She had folded her clothes, like, neatly put them beside her and just laid down and died. But when they took the body away, it left a stain impression of her body on the concrete floor. And to this day, as far as I'm aware, this article was updated as of, I believe, June 2nd of this year. That stain is still there. It won't clean. Like, you can't clean it off. I've read a few things that apparently they've tried to paint over it, and it seeps through the paint. And there's been multiple reports of seeing her standing in the window of that area watching people. So when I started looking into that, I was like, dude, that's freaking crazy. Like, I've got to go check this out. Unfortunately, unless you know somebody that works at the Ridges for OU, good luck getting in. It is very secure now. A lot of people have tried to, like, break in and ghost hunt and all of that jazz, and they've really kind of cut down on that. So I went there. I had been at OU for probably, like, 2 months. Sorry, this is a long-winded story, but I have never been into, like, scary stuff whatsoever, and I've never really watched, like, a lot of scary movies. Well, at the time, my girlfriend and I decided that we were going to go up to the Ridges that night with two of my buddies. And before we went, we thought it was a smart idea to watch, I can't remember what the movie's called for the life of me, but it was a horror movie. And we decided that we were going to watch that on my laptop before we went.
What was it about?
So it was about an abandoned insane asylum that these kids, like, went to, like, basically ghost hunt in. Funny enough, that's basically what we were doing.
I feel like Crazy 8.
Maybe. It was on Netflix. That's all I know. But we're watching it, and I kid you not, right before a jump scare, so it was like right when the jump scare was like popping onto the screen, my laptop, which was a brand new laptop, I'll have to mention this, it was brand new. I bought it for college. Okay, so I bought it right before I went to college. I had only been there like a month. Like, this laptop was pristine. Okay, nothing wrong with it. It literally just shut off. Like, it completely froze. The screen froze. I couldn't power it off with any of the buttons. I literally had to take the battery pack out of the laptop to turn it off. And that kind of freaked me out. I was like, that's, like, super weird, but it's probably just, like, you know, a coincidence. Whatever. So we decide we're not going to finish the movie. We go ahead, we meet up with my friends, we start walking up to the Ridges. Well, we walked around the entirety of the Ridges, and if anybody's listening and wants to look this up, I'm sure you can find it. There is a stairway, right, that leads from the Ridges all the way up to this new building that they've actually built. I believe it's like a science center, I believe. And behind that is actually where the cemetery for the Ridges is. And the crazy thing about the cemetery is there are a ton of unmarked graves. The only thing on the headstones are numbers. So they have a bunch of graves that are just numbered. And the reason that I found for that was there was a huge storm and a mudslide basically, like, pulled the caskets out of the ground.
Love to hear it.
What's that?
Love to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Pulled the caskets out of the ground, and they didn't know who the heck these people were. So they reburied them and just put numbers on their graves, which to me is kind of nuts. But anyway, we're walking up these steps, and there's a small building, a small two-story building, about halfway up these steps on the left side when you're walking up. It's been completely closed down for asbestos. Like, you're not even allowed close to it. They've got, like, the doors boarded up. But they left the windows, at least on the second floor, not boarded. Keep that in mind once we progress a little further. We walk up this hill. We go back to the graveyard. I thought that I was going to catch something with my phone. Of course, my phone is not an actual EVP system. So I just sat there asking questions and didn't capture anything. If there was anything to capture, who knows? And we sat up there, like, trying to talk to spirits for maybe 10 minutes, realized that it was just kind of stupid, and then started walking back down the hill. Now, along the hill, there are light posts. And we're walking down, and I look up while we're walking, and there's about four, I think it's four windows on the second floor side of this building. And as I'm walking down, I see the side of a face go from window to window to window to window, and then just disappeared. And it freaked me out, and I stopped, and I was like, oh, you know what? It was probably just the lights. So I turned around, walked back up like 5-10 paces to where I had originally started seeing the side of his face. And I turned around and walked back down again and looked, and there was absolutely nothing. And I was like, wow. Like, I definitely just saw something, and I was, like, freaking out about it. I just ran down the steps to catch up to my friends and my girlfriend at the time. And I was like, dude, like, I just saw the side of a face. And they were, like, of course, freaking out. Like, that's crazy, whatever. We kept walking because we were just going to, you know, we were done. We were going to head back to our dorms. My girlfriend was walking in front of me, and she walked around the corner of the side of this building that was attached to, like, the main building. And, like, in a corner, it kind of, like, branches off, kind of like an L right there with the walls. Mm-hmm. In that corner, there's a staircase, real small staircase that just leads up to a door to get inside. And on, you know, of course, the other side, like, there's nothing. You know, a normal staircase, like, you could sit down on, kind of kick your legs off the side. She walked around the corner, and she could see what looked like a little kid's legs sitting there swinging back and forth off the side of the staircase. And as soon as she got all the way around to where she could get a good look at the stairs, there was nothing there. So we both agreed, like, holy crap, like, we both just saw apparitions up there. Like, this is legit. And unfortunately, like, we never got to go in. I never got to see the stain, although that would have been pretty crazy. But what I did get, I was a theater major, for those who don't know. And I got to do a student film. And one of the guys that was actually helping with the student film was a ghost hunter. He deemed himself a ghost hunter. He actually wrote a book about the Ridges.
Nice. Nick, you still there?
And can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry, you cut out for a second. That was weird.
Oh, shoot. No worries. I'll recap just a little bit. So this guy and his mom were both, like, big ghost hunters. He wrote a book on the Ridges, and he was telling me about when he got access inside to go in with his mom, and he told me they went down to the basement of the Ridges, and he had an EVP machine, and for those that don't know, I believe it's called an EVP. But it's static. It's like radio static, basically. And people use it. Some people call it spirit boxes, I think, where, like, certain words will jump out of the static that are believed to be spirits, like, utilizing the frequency to speak to you. Well, he said he walked down to the bottom, down into the basement, had out his spirit box, and he was like, you know, if there's any spirits here that want to talk to us, please let us know that you're here. If there's anything that you want to say to us. And he said, as soon as he said that, as soon as he went, if there's anything you want to say to us, a, like, angry male voice came through the EVP machine and directly threatened his mother. Basically, it said, get out, you fat bitch.
Nice.
And he was like, oh, okay. So that, with along a few other stories, I'll stop taking so much of this airtime. I'll let you kind of react to a little bit of this, but that and a few other stories, like, really confirmed to me, hey, this is real. Like, this is real, and it's scary. If I'm being honest, like, the Ridges, it's not a good vibe, and not at all.
Damn.
It's kind of spooky, man.
Yeah. Fucking, sorry, I'm just thinking about, like,
Good?
Yeah, trying to get the words out. I'm just thinking about, when you said, like, the coffins in the mudslide.
Yeah.
This is a fucked up point of view, but I just imagine being, like, walking by, and just all of a sudden, just like a fuck ton of coffins just come at your feet, just like slide over. You're just I'm fucking leave now. I'm out.
I would be gone. I would be sprinting. And another crazy thing that actually, this to me sounds like folklore. I won't say that it's not true, but I never met anyone that specifically was in the story. But I was told by a lot of other students on campus not to mess with anything at the cemetery. And the reason being, apparently one of the fraternities at OU actually went to the cemetery and stole a headstone. Took it back to their dorm, or not their dorm, their frat house. And from what people have said, they experienced like total poltergeist activity. Like just absolute, almost, I wouldn't say possession, but you know, like just everything going wrong, everything that could possibly go wrong inside the home going wrong, people being presented with apparitions, people seeing stuff at night, people feeling like they were being like touched and stuff like that. And it apparently was so intense that it only lasted, I believe, about a half a day before they took it back.
Man.
It was so bad.
Yeah, that's why you don't fuck with shit from a graveyard. It's disrespectful. Like, you're not supposed to do that. Like, one of my favorite holidays is Dia de los Muertos. And, like, just respecting those that have died before you and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, I love the representation on Coco. I fucking love that movie. But like
Coco?
Yeah.
Dude, that movie is 10 out of 10.
Exactly. Like the pure respect they have for like those that came before them and everything is awesome. I don't like them when they're alive, just when they're dead is mainly it.
That's the only part of the movie I like, when everybody's dead.
I mean, my family, man. It's fucking, I hate old people.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, my bad.
I can't think of a possibility where I'd be like, yo, I want that fucking headstone. No, fuck that. Like,
my assumption would be that it was some sort of, like, fraternity hazing. Like, oh, you want to be in the frat? Go steal us a headstone.
Yeah, that the only.
But that's, go ahead.
The only time I've seen somebody steal a headstone, like ever, was in a representation in a movie, and that movie was the 1987, I think it was 1987 original Halloween. But Michael Myers stole his sister's headstone and then had like killed a girl and put her in front of it on a bed. It's the only time I've seen anything stolen from a cemetery. I mean, obviously, like headstone wise, I've seen like some movies like steal gold and shit like that. But I meant like headstone wise from a thing.
Jeez, yeah, I don't understand, like, what would compel you to do that. And not even just so much on kind of, like, the respect side of things. Like, obviously, like, you should be respectful. That's someone's grave. But why? Like, why would you even want that?
Hey, man, you gotta steal this headstone in order to be in the frat. Looks like I'm not in the fucking frat. Yeah, I'm going home.
I'll go over to freaking Zeta, Delta, whatever. And just party with those guys. I'm not trying to get possessed, homie.
Get fucking shit on it. Also, I think the movie you guys probably watched was probably Grave Encounters.
Grave Encounters. Let me see here.
This shit's wild. That's the reason why I like that movie. Is the reason why I don't think I'm ever going to go on a... I kind of want to go in a deconstructed insane asylum, but at the same time, I don't want to go in an abandoned insane asylum because of that fucking movie.
It was Grave Encounters 2.
Yep. fucking one of the scenes in the first one was like, okay, guys, we stayed the night. We did the ghost hunt. Time, like, it's basically like the second one. You're following a ghost hunting crew. It's a very good horror movie. If you like horror movies, I would highly suggest it. But, yeah. Like, sorry, spoiler, but it's been out for a while, so get fucked. But so they go to this door that they marked with spray paint, like, hey, this is the way out, so we don't get lost because the place is big. They find it, and they go through it expecting the outside.
Yeah.
What they actually find is it just leads to another hallway. And, like, they continuously go back and forth through it and then find that, like, all the doors they see is marked with that mark now. And they're kind of stuck. And then, like, everything just kicks off and, like, all of the haunted shit happens. But yeah, no, like, because of that, I was just like, I feel like from other people going to the same asylums, I'll be fine. Then I remember that movie and I'm like, I don't want to risk that.
Yeah. And I'll talk about one more thing from OU, specifically that dormitory that's supposed to be super haunted, but just some crazy stuff that honestly, like, makes you kind of understand why it's believed to be that. And you, again, anyone can find this online. Just look for Wilson Hall, room 428, Ohio University. But from the understanding from this article and everything else that I've read about this room, they believe that Wilson Hall is the most famous haunted place on campus. And most people point to it as being, you know, the most haunted place in Athens, whatever. But one of the big reasons is because there are multiple graveyards, old graveyards, scattered through Athens. And if you look at it on a map and you circle those areas, inside of those areas, right, there's five graveyards that when they are connected, turn into a pentagram. And inside the pentagram, dead center, is Wilson Hall Dormitory. Which is just absolutely nuts. But even further, and talking about the room specifically where this girl killed herself, it was in the 1970s. This girl died in room 428. Years after that, students residing in the room said that they heard, like, strange sounds, footsteps, even stuff like moving by itself. But school officials deemed the room uninhabitable because of the story of this woman, and then, of course, people reporting on it. But the story about this woman is that this female student died in a violent way, I believe by suicide, after she was practicing occult inside of the room. And it's said that the girl, you know, made use of the room's energy to practice a method where the human spirit travels on its own after separating from the body, so astral projection. And students, this girl in particular, was rumored to have repeatedly attempted to contact the dead, and that she often dabbled in sorcery practices, which is absolutely crazy. But just the simple fact, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, on the door as well, and I can try to find this as well, because some people call it Satan's dormitory. On the door to that room, there was, in the wood grain, it looked like the devil's face with his horns and everything on the door. And so they completely just deemed this completely uninhabitable, turned it into a boiler room. And I believe there's a video online as well. See if I can find it here. Oh yeah, here it is. Here, I'm going to send this to you in Discord. If it'll let me. Ooh, don't like that. It's kind of weird. It's not letting me paste, Josh. Something's going on. Oh, here we go. Maybe it was just in there. Either way, let me know if you got that.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. So it's said that the devil's face is in the door. And I believe, if I remember correctly, and they might talk about it in that video, she painted like something in her own blood on the wall. And when they would attempt to like paint over it, the stain, much like the woman in the ridges, would seep back through the paint. It's just, it's nuts.
It's some fucking weird shit.
Yeah, and it said, let me see here. Spiritualist experts claim that the geography of the area, with the layout of peaks, mountains, and valleys, makes the spot very conductive to psychic energy. At the beginning of the 1980s, a newspaper researched the property in a routine examination for the Institute. They discovered that Wilson Hall is built on the same location as the original site of an early cemetery of the Athens Mental Institute. So this dormitory is literally on top of one of those graves or one of those cemeteries. And when you outline the other cemeteries, that dead center where the dorm is on top of a cemetery is a pentagram.
Damn.
It's mind blowing. Like, if you want to talk about like connecting dots and like, oh, well, you know, I don't really believe that. Like, there's too much evidence of something otherworldly going on.
Yeah. That shit always baffles me and shit like that. And another thing that baffles me is like people's whenever you watch a movie and they have a demon in it, the demon's like ugly and just like menacing and everything and just looks like it's gonna destroy the world. My biggest grief with that is why the fuck would they do that and then like just act like scary as shit? Why not like just be a normal looking person that sounds cool and gets people to just like commit sins, like if that's the way you want to go about with shit like that. Like this shit right here, instead of being like a demon and scary and all this shit, if it was just like some dude that was being instructed by an evil force.
Yeah.
Like some capitalist, and he was like, okay, let's place a cemetery here, here, and here. And he already knew that that was there as well. So basically he or she made this like superconductor for an evil force to make contact with them or whatever the fuck.
I think that's honestly, I don't think that that's a bad way to look at it at all. I think that that's very plausible. Especially when you think about, you know, how evil humans truly can be. And if you think about an evil force helping to dictate the evilness of humans, I can definitely see that being a reality.
Plus, there's actually a movie that talks about this. It's called The Visitor. You know, the dude, you've seen Iron Fist on like when it was on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the dude that played Danny, that's the same actor that plays the main dude and Visitor. Basically, it's the same premise where the dude is actually like, I'm guessing the devil himself, that I'm guessing that's what they're trying to get across. But basically, this dude is like within him is the devil. And throughout the years, he has never changed in appearance. And his wife has never changed as well. So they continuously have kids, one boy, one girl, which is just them who, when they die, their souls go into the younger thems and just like continues like that. And he was like in the line of that long line of just devils going through and and anywhere you look in time, like there's people that have paintings of him and pictures of him and everything. basically of every major event in history, he was there, like, behind the bad person, like, instructing them, and you, like, there was pictures of him and everything. And that this is kind of like what I'm saying here, like, there is an advisor to powerful people, and if you're looking for, like, people say, like, demons and everything are going after, like, normal average people. If I was a demon, why the fuck would I go after Farmer Joe? I could go after the fucking President of the United States and fucking make him make everyone else's life a living hell. Fucking, I'd rather take the huge number versus the small number on that one.
You know, Josh, it might be the best demon of all time. He might have taken me over, but I'm taking him over. Okay.
Shit's funny as fuck. He's one of his, like, top people in his cabinet. I fucking saw a video today where he was like, everyone in my cabinet is top tier. Everyone in my cabinet is top tier. And they list off, like, everything bad he said about the other people. Basically, like, calls everyone else in his cabinet fucking idiots and shit. Yeah. And so you think these are the best people, and even you yourself has admitted they're not. Well, you got one per every 10 of amazing people. Basically, you're saying he was the best person to have, and everyone else was shit. That's what he meant. And just like, what the fuck is your dumbass issue?
But that's for another podcast.
Yeah, that's neither here nor there on this one. For the fucking demons. There we go.
Yeah, I personally, I get that. Like, I don't think, you know, okay, I 100% believe that the paranormal is real. 100%. I 100% believe that aliens are real. I 100% believe personally in reincarnation, all that good stuff. But with all of that in mind, I definitely believe that there is a world outside of our world. And within that world, whether it's people that are still, you know, okay, this might be a little bit off topic, but it's kind of along the lines of reincarnation.
Well, reincarnation is still paranormal, so yeah, that fits.
So the belief in reincarnation is simply that, you know, you're here to learn lessons no matter how long it takes, right? That's why you come back, because you haven't learned all of your lessons. It's kind of my belief that paranormal, or even let's say what's believed to be demons and things like that, I personally believe it boils down to people that have used all of their chances and still did not learn their lessons. And now they are stuck in a world between worlds and they can't escape. And I think that's why you have, you know, people say there's good spirits and there's bad spirits. There's good spirits because there's people that are then within that world who understand that they fucked up, right? They didn't learn their lessons, and now, you know, they're here for all of time, whatever. And that's where you find your good spirits. And your bad spirits, I think, are those people that are bitter, right? They didn't learn all their lessons. They don't want to accept that they didn't learn their lessons. So now they are just simply out for revenge. And they know that they can attempt to influence people in their lives who are trying to learn their lessons by, you know, messing with their minds, making them see things, possibly even, you know, possessing their bodies, whatever it may be. I think that that's a huge thing to really kind of like dive deep into and think about, because if kind of along the lines of what you said, I don't think that, you know, a bad spirit is really going to go for a nobody, right? I mean, you know, they could out of spite and, you know, just, hey, this dude's life fucking sucks, so I'm going to fuck it up even more. But I agree with you. Like, I personally feel that evil spirits would pursue someone worth something to them, right? Give them another opportunity to inflict as much damage as possible. And you're not going to do that unless, kind of along what you said, like, the president, or, you know, somebody else, like a billionaire, or something like that. I think that that's like, that's a big ideal, big idea that I don't think a lot of people like really think about when they think about paranormal stuff. Like, obviously people think about like, oh, there's, you know, the paranormal world, right? And we want to like figure out these spirits, and you'll have that on any stupid ghost hunter show that's usually fake. I think that that's a bigger thing that people need to pay attention to. And when they're trying to pursue, like, personally, I don't want to pursue paranormal activity. It freaks me out. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be close to it. It scares me. I'll admit that. But for those that are, like, super interested in it, think about it. Like, I think if you went in with that more kind of an objective stance to learn and realize that, hey, maybe these people are stuck here because they used up all their opportunities. And now we can kind of understand them more by understanding what their goals and what their desires are in the state that they're in. And I think, you know, this is just me, my opinion. If more legitimate ghost hunters started asking those questions when they were trying to talk to spirits, I think that you would receive a lot more feedback, you know, not just those little spirit boxes that are saying like, oh, get out, or like something like that. Like, I think if you're asking more objective questions with that kind of an idea, maybe, who knows, you could have a full conversation with a spirit. Who knows?
And it's the possibility. From what you just said also, like the in-between world, for reincarnations, kind of fucking weird you said that. There is literally an anime about that, about like a world that's in between. You don't interact with the other world. It's like totally separate, but it's basically saying that there is a world in between, a like waiting stage to be reincarnated, where you get to prove like your worth and you have to prove yourself. Otherwise, like if you don't, you don't get reincarnated. So you're stuck in this in between world forever until you prove yourself good enough to continue living. So yeah, it's very weird that you said that. It's called Angel Beats. It's fucking amazing.
Dude, you'll have to send that to me. Do you know, is it on any streaming platforms?
It's on Netflix.
Shoot, yeah, dude. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to have that background noise there. Yeah, send that to me, dude. That's actually really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Here, I'll actually just write it down.
The Angel Beats.
Angel. Wow, I spelled angel wrong. Angel Beats. Beats, yeah. Like B-E-A-T-S?
Yeah.
Sick.
But yeah, that is an amazing anime. Yeah, no, it's literally about the same thing. It dives deep and like, man, because when you first get there, you don't know who you were. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, you kind of have to discover yourself while you're there. And as you discover yourself, you learn more about who you were. And like, eventually you'll remember who you were. It just depends on who, like, how fast you discover yourself. And based upon that, you'll notice, like, differences in yourself that, like, of choices you made and stuff like that. It's really cool in that aspect as well.
And I genuinely, again, this is really my opinion. But it's really genuinely interesting to think. Like, obviously, we all have experienced deja vu. We've all felt like, oh, I've been here before. I've said this before. I think that that, in its own sense, is hard evidence for reincarnation. Because you can't remember why you were there. You can't remember why you said what you said. But you know that you've done it. Without a shadow of a doubt, you're like, I've seen that person. I know that person. I've been here. I've done this. I genuinely believe that we aren't able to know who we were prior, but collectively our consciousness or our soul, whatever it is, that we are, you know, outside of this realm that's sent here to experience these things and learn, obviously knows that. And I think that we do have a deeper connection with that soul or that, you know, eternal being or whatever it is. I do think that we have a deeper connection with that, and that's why we feel those things. And I just think that that's, like, super, super interesting. And I love that, like, I kind of love that we got on this topic. We honestly might need to do another podcast where we just deep dive reincarnation. But I just think that it's super interesting to, like, think about those kinds of things. Like, think, like, okay. I know, like, we kind of talked about this last time we talked, and unfortunately you guys won't get to hear that episode. My audio was terrible. But I think what I was kind of getting at in our last time that we spoke was having more of an objective view on life and trying to learn day in and day out, even from minuscule things. And I think if we had more of an objective view on, you know, eternity or even life now in the present, we would be able to understand if reincarnation was fully real, if, you know, other things are 100% accurate, whatever it may be, because we're paying attention to it. Like, this is a little off topic. We could talk about this if we, you know, discuss religion, but I don't think that people look at religion objectively. Like, of course, you know, there's people that do it as, like, a professor or whatever, but that's a very minuscule amount of people that actually look at something objectively, right? We look at what other people will tell us. We don't experience it for ourselves and try to dig deeper. And I think if we did that, not only would we be able to understand our lives more, I think we would be able to understand those big questions, like the paranormal. You know, is it real? Did I see that? Did I feel that? Am I experiencing this? Digging deeper into that, but having an open mind to look at it in that kind of a light, I think is what brings people to the understanding that the paranormal is very real. If you simply just watch, like, Ghost Adventures, right, you're probably not going to think that the paranormal's real, okay? The main guy on there, I'm sorry, he's a doofus. I can't stand watching Ghost Adventures because he's so annoying. But I think if you looked at any experience that you've had, like for you, for example, that previous experience that you talked about, right? You looked at that objectively. You took the time to be like, okay, I know I saw this. Is this what I experienced? Yes. Is this what I felt? Is this what I saw? Is this, you know, what I heard? Whatever it may be. People don't take the time to do that. And I think everyone is going to have a paranormal experience. I think everyone will. But it's the matter of actually paying attention and asking those questions to be truthful with yourself that I think more people would understand how real it actually is.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a rant, sorry.
No, you're good. Fuck. I forgot it. You threw me off by saying Ghost Adventures, and I started thinking about that. Oh, damn it. Oh, no, I can't remember. So with people not looking at religion objectively, I'm a big believer that has to do with our upbringing. Like, my parents were not big on any religion. My dad kind of told us, me and my sister, when we were little, like, I don't care what religion you're in, but I want you to be knowledgeable about religion. I want you to know what you're getting into and not just blindly agree to something just because you're told. And I was like, yeah, like, so now I'm the person I am. I'm not like my RG, like, let's go with RG. Mm-hmm. He was kind of, and I guess you as well, from like a kid, you two were kind of attempted to be brainwashed into believing this because your parents believed it. And people say, like, no, it's not brainwashed. Like, you were extremely impressionable from the point in time that they start you in religious studies, Bible studies, like shit like that, having you read the Bible, having somebody talk to you, even like, okay, another thing, they literally have classes for kids in most churches just for children, so they can teach children about the Bible. And like a fun way for little kids, an interesting way for teens. And then yep. when you're like an adult, they tell you as an adult as things you would like to hear as an adult. And exactly. like that entire time, they have like coffee stands in the church. They have donuts for you. As a kid, like some of the churches would have like games the kids would be able to play. Stuff that makes it feel more fun and agreeable. So you can just basically be like, yeah, no, this is right. This is right.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. And what you really hit on there, and this is why no one... Okay, there are a lot of people that agree with me about this now, but overall, religion's a cult, okay? Oh, yeah. Spirituality is different, and I'm not saying that, like, you know, every religion's a cult. For instance, and this might be why I like Buddhism so much, I don't think Buddhism is, because Buddhism isn't so much of a religion as a belief system, right? Or even just like a morality system and how they live their lives and like being kind to people and loving one another. Like the main thing that they, you know, may not so much preach about, but talk about is like reincarnation. But when you look at, you know, church and stuff like that, like Christianity, Muslims, things like that, you see very young, right? That's where we're starting you. We start you very young. We teach you all of this stuff in a way that you can understand it, make it seem right, and make it seem like it's the only thing that you can believe. And as you get older, we adapt it to you, just like you said. And then as you get older and older and older, it turns from, hey, this is fun, and this is good, and this person loves you. Well, even at a young age as well. But if you piss this person off or this god, you're fucked. For all of eternity. Hope you like it. So you better never do anything that we tell you is a sin. Because, and I said this the last time we talked, religion isn't a belief system. It's a rule system. It's a very strict rule system at that. You don't have so much of a guideline of what the actual Bible says. You have a guideline of what people tell you the Bible says. And you just believe it because that's the way that you were raised, or whether it's the Quran or whatever it may be, that's what you believe. And it's so difficult for you as you grow older to look at it objectively and go, wait a minute, does this make sense? Do I really believe this? It gets very difficult to do that. So religion, to me, it's a cult. I don't care what people believe. I don't, by any means. As long as you're not an asshole. Like, don't tell someone else they have to believe what you believe. But if you want to believe that, you know, God's real and he sent his son to die so all of you could, you know, live in heaven forever.
Eat bread.
Yeah, but that wasn't good enough. You have to, you know, apologize for your sins every day, because if there's one sin that you don't apologize for, you're still going to hell. Like, just things like that. It's just, it's so much to think about and so much that will... then in turn ruin your life. You'll spend your whole life worried about breaking, you know, a rule that some freaking 70-year-old told you to believe, who, I mean, my God, pull up the freaking news articles. I mean, this relates to something totally different, but pull up the news articles of all of the sexual predators that have been pulled out of a church for messing with kids or raping kids and things like that. And that's the same dude that would have told you last Sunday that if you looked at a woman and thought about having sex with her before you were married, that was an abomination in the eyes of God and you would go to hell. And that same fucker is doing shit with kids.
Thank God those motherfuckers that are thinking unwillingful thoughts are going to hell, bastards.
Yeah. It's just nuts. It's all nuts. And I think it's difficult, like, especially for me, right, to even think, like, well, when I was younger, now it's not. But when I was younger, it was difficult for me to even think about the paranormal, because all that I knew that the paranormal was demons. That's sinners. All that I was told. Yeah. I was told that they were all demons, and that was it. Like, there were no good spirits. There were none of that. Like, it was like, the paranormal is the devil. If you watch a horror movie, you'll get possessed. And, like, it was so difficult for me to even have any interest in that. And that's probably why I don't really watch scary movies now. But that kind of impression, it erodes your ability to, like I said, think about things objectively. Yeah. And when you lose that ability, you lose the ability to not only live the way that you want to and be who you want to, but simply be happy. It's so difficult to be happy if you can't look at things objectively and be like, hey, do I like this? Yes or no?
Yeah. So I got 2 points. I got a... So the first one, so one of the pharmacists I work with, he's Muslim. And me and him were talking about religion the other day, and I was like talking about the Bible and the Quran, and I was asking what the difference was, and he was telling me, well, for the first thing is the Quran was written in a used language, in a live language.
Mm-hmm.
So it never had to be translated. It never had to be like, if it's rewritten, it's rewritten word by word. Like, it's taken straight from the Quran. Like, it's not somebody's interpretation. It's not like each one's a new one. It's one Bible to them, which is the Quran. And he was like, then think about Christianity and like just their holy Bible. It was written in a dead language. Only some people knew somewhat of how to speak and read it. And they interpreted it into English later on when King James wanted it translated for the people. And he also put in there like his own little bits about how he can divorce some of his wives and change the Bible a little bit. And over time, it continuously changed and been tweaked. Like translated to other languages and back to English, and now instead of you're not supposed to strike your kid, it's now you're not supposed to ride your horse. Like, it's just mixed up a bunch of times. And I was like, yeah, that actually, holy shit, that makes a lot of sense now that it's put in front of me like that. I never actually like sat down and thought about it. And he was like, yeah, so that's why a lot of people that believe in the Quran know, like, it is the source, like, it is their source. It is written in, I believe it's Arabic.
I know if I'm correct, I'm probably not. Don't quote me on this. I believe that the Bible was originally in Sanskrit. But I've brought that point up to a lot of people, and not specifically about the Quran. I don't really like discuss that with anybody. I'm no, you know, expert on that. That is very interesting. But the simple fact of, you have no idea who wrote this book that you claim to be the Word of God. You have no idea. You have no idea what the original text actually said. You have no idea what all King James threw in there. We know some things. You have no idea what books were excluded and if they were actually the Word of God and they were supposed to be in there. Like, you don't know. You have no idea. You go in blind and you're like, oh, this is the Word of God. You know, we'll believe everything it says. But you have no idea.
So it's kind of funny you say that, because you know how everyone makes fun of like two groups, mainly, well, three. You got Mormons, Jehovah Witnesses, and Scientologists. Like, everyone, for some reason, those are the three religions that everyone makes fun of. But let's just think about Jehovah's Witness and, Scientology and Mormon. So, Mormon religion, it Apparently in this book it states that an angel came to a man to give him the actual Bible because God had a revised version. And he gave him a special hat that only he could see in and a special stone to translate the script, the tablet they gave him. And he was able to take this and write it down and come up with the Book of Mormon. And then he went to all the townspeople. Nobody believed him, but he just persuaded them, and eventually people started believing him. Now think about Scientology. A science fiction writer decided one day to write a religion. I'll have to get on that on a different topic, because the religion that he wrote about is very close. Yeah, the very religion he wrote about is very interesting. I'll get to that in a moment. But, so, then we think about Christianity. We're told this written by God. I have no clue if that's true. So basically, I'm being told it's written by some dude that went around and convinced people to invest in his religion.
Well, yes, but it's said to be the word of God written by the people who received those words from God.
Literally the Book of Mormon.
So yeah, you're supposed to believe that a bunch of different dudes all heard the same guy talking to them, right? Whether that was, you know, Jesus in the flesh talking to them in person, or, you know, a heavenly father talking to them, that they heard all of this stuff and wrote it all down, and it all was the same person, and it all connected, and it all boiled down to what the Bible is now. Like, that's what you're told to believe? That makes no sense. That if okay, let's think about it this way. If Bill Nye, right, and I know he's not like, you know, the pinnacle of science, but he is a respected figure. If Bill Nye was like, yeah, man, heard this voice and it told me that, you know, these are all the sins, this is how you get to heaven, yada this and yada that, would you be like, oh, yeah, Bill Nye, you know, you're super smart. I believe you. I bet someone told you that. No. You'd be like, Bill, did you, you know, trip acid? Like, what'd you do, man? Like, you wouldn't just take that at face value. And that is what Christianity does. Christianity takes what people say they heard at face value into a written book and worship it like it's the Word of God.
Yeah.
Sorry if fucking, I made you lose your spot again.
Nah, you're chill. Shit's just fucking ridiculous in general. So the thing I was gonna say, the thing I was gonna say about Scientology is that there is a very old religion. I can't fucking remember the name of it. I mean, my dad are talking about it one day. It's like a religion where like one of the earliest religions there is. The writing was like literally like just, I know all writing is lines technically, but there was literally just slashes and dashes like next to each other. It wasn't like actual like to make letters. It was just slashes and dashes next to each other. But it's kind of flows with the movie Prometheus, that's like a prequel to the Alien series, where a civilization came to Earth and then made us in their image, and they left and went away. Well, this religion also said that there are these figures we consider gods, but look like us, just much bigger, much more perfect, came to Earth and basically taught us things, and then had us mine gold for them and find resources for them so they could take it with them. And they like taught us things and everything like that, and they made us stronger as a society. Now, let's move to Scientology real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Scientology is the belief that a bunch of souls got taken from other planets, from other aliens, brought to Earth, and then now all the people on the planet have an alien soul inside of them, and our main goal is to mine and collect resources to give to these aliens.
Now, that kind of sounds very similar to an early civilization as well. And that kind of is freaky to me that, like, either dude knew about that religion or dude had a straight mushroom-like trip and just thought of that on his own.
Guaranteed LSD.
Oh, yeah. So, go ahead. No, you're chill. Go.
Okay. Like, and we could talk about this if you know, we get to sit down and talk about psychedelics. But personally, I think if anybody's going to come up with something like Scientology, it's going to be LSD. Like, mushrooms, you know, I think mushrooms give you more of an outlook on our world and our life. I mean, you could deep dive into, you know, mycelium and what it's like, but mycelium basically covers everything underneath your feet when you walk outside. It's a super highway that is connected all over the world. Whereas LSD is a man-made chemical that just basically makes your brain go nuts. And that's what Scientology has always sounded like to me. Like, when I first heard about it, and then, like, I watched a little bit about it when Leah Remini from King of Queens, when she got out of it, and she talked about it a little bit, and I was like, dude, this guy was tripping balls. Like, this dude did, like, 8 tabs and just was like, I'm gonna write a fucking book about aliens and shit.
Well, that's what he already did. Like, dude was a science fiction writer.
Yeah, and he was like, you know what, I'm gonna trip balls. And okay, now all this stuff that I've came up with is God.
God.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like the Lovecraftian books, how, like, when he was alive, Lovecraft was very poor and was not recognized. He died, and then after he died, people discovered his book, and then he became huge. But basically, like, he never created a religion or said he created a religion, but people just, like, memed it into reality where, like, they made it a mock religion about Cthulhu and everything, and it's become, like, a whole society, and, like, a bunch of games and everything have been made from it. I just find that fucking hilarious.
Yeah, isn't that the Call of Cthulhu?
Yes.
Yeah.
So my second point was about for the religion as a cult thing. So the one religion that everyone is told that's a cult, Satanist. So I don't know if you're aware, there's the Church of Satan. Mm-hmm. Is a religion, and so they were featured on, you know, Fox News. They want to bring it on because they're Christian and they want to embarrass the Satanists. Yep. Well, one of the Satanists came on and he was like, so what do you guys do? Why do you need an after program, like after school program, to do illegal stuff and drugs? He's like, no, we actually hire teachers, like, after school if they're willing, or tutors to bring them in and help the students and help learning get tutored after school. Plus, we also come in with after school activities to give these kids a purpose and something to do just in case they don't have anywhere safe to go after school. And the dude just sat there and stared at him, and he was like, okay, what are some of your guys' morals? And he's like, well, instead of love thy neighbor, we go with treat people how you want to be treated, but don't be a fool.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was just like, if you look up, hold on, let me look up, just, like, you have to hear these,
And while you're pulling that up, I'll just say something. Again, back to what I said about pedophilia within the church. I guarantee you, if I look up reports on which organization has had more arrests for pedophilia, I guarantee you Christianity will. Guaranteed.
Well, yeah.
And to anyone... Okay, I'm going to say this. This might be, I don't think it'll be controversial to you, Josh, but anyone that's listening, if you have the audacity to think that drag queens are trying to molest your children and be predators, look up that statistic too. Look up how many drag queens have been arrested for child pornography, you know, sexual assault, things like that, and compare it to the Christian church. Just do that. Do me that favor. You know, if you believe that, do me that favor and look that up. And I promise you, either you'll accept it and be like, holy shit, or you'll still, you know, be an asshole and be like, oh, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's not okay. But look that up.
Trying to fucking find this. Okay, so the 11 satanic rules of the earth. Do not give opinions or advice unless you're asked. Do not tell your troubles to others unless you are sure they want to hear them. When in another's lie, show him respect or else do not go there. If a guest in your lair annoys you, treat him cruelly and without mercy. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find it because like there's a whole list of
And I know that I've seen that before. I actually think I watched that interview. Was it with Tucker Carlson?
I have no idea, honestly.
I'm fairly certain it was Tucker Carlson. I'm gonna have to look that up.
What are those ten commandments? Hold on, let me.
Ten commandments? Shoot.
Well, no, not what are they? It was just
Don't quiz me, man.
Yeah, no. There's like
No, it was Jesse Waters.
Yeah, Satan represents undefiled wisdom instead of hypocritical self-deception. Satan represents mercy for those who deserve it instead of love wasted on flatterers. Satan represents revenge and does not turn the other cheek after a blow. Satan represents responsibility to those in charge instead of being involved with spiritual vampires. Okay, I can't apparently find the fucking ones that the dude was talking about. Fuck, hold off. Let me see. One should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures. Oh, this is it. All creatures in accordance with reason. The struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institution. One's body is inviolable. I think it's, yeah. Subject is one's own will alone. So basically, like, your body's your body, and it's your body, your choice. Good. Yeah. The freedoms of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend, to willingly and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego one's own. Belief should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs.
Amen to that.
Yeah, two more. People are fallible. Fallible? Fallible? People are fallible. If one makes a mistake, you should do one's best to recidify it and resolve any harm that may have been caused. Recidify it?
Is it rectify?
Yeah, there we go. Rectify. Sorry, I'm a little bit intoxicated.
You're good, man.
Every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written and spoken rule. Written and spoken word. There we go. So yeah, that's their what do they call this? The seventh their seven fundamental tenets. So that is the Satanic Temple, not the Satanic Church, the Satanic Temple. That is what they believe.
It's funny. I think they did a second interview because I'm fairly certain because it was Jesse Waters that interviewed the originally. But I think they had a second interview as well with who was it? Lawrence Jones, who was filling in after Tucker Carlson got fired. And Jones asked this guy, he said, "What do you want to do in schools across America?" And the guy said, "Well, I won't speak to the issues of what we do in school. If we're going to have a discussion about litigation that nobody wants to have, I have 787.5 million questions for you," which, funny enough, was the dollar amount that Fox agreed to pay Dominion for repeatedly and falsely claiming that its machines were rigged against Donald Trump in the 2020 election.
Damn.
Boom, roasted.
That is fucking hilarious.
I'm going to have to try to find that original.
No. I think I'm going to cut it here. It was definitely good having you on. On this next episode, I'm going to try to get one other person on, a friend of mine. So next time, it may be three of us in here to be able to get more of a point of view.
Word up, dude. I'm always here for it. Thanks thanks again for having me on. I'm glad my audio was fixed this time.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, always down to do it. Always down to talk about life and crazy shit. I'm here for it.
Yes, sir. Alrighty. We'll see you next time, bud.
All right, brother. Take care.
Peace.
Peace.